Life Audio.
Hello, and welcome to Kynos Project Podcast.
I'm Dale.
And I am Tamara.
And we are here to tackle ancient truths in everyday settings.
We are back, and a lot of things have changed around here. We said we were going to come back after, I think we said we were going to pause for a couple months, and then it might be a year?
Right about.
Coming up on a year that we paused, so hopefully we still have some listeners out there.
I mean, hopefully both of them have returned.
Maybe, yeah. Our two friends. The two friends we have in the world.
Probably the biggest update is that we have moved the podcast world headquarters to a different space in our house in beautiful downtown Corona, California. And the space that we have moved it to, get this, has air conditioning.
It does, yeah. This is a better setup. I'm happy about it.
And so there's going to be a crisper sound because you're not going to be able to hear our perspiring across the recording. This is the sound of us.
You're not going to hear our what?
In climate controlled
our
comfort.
Sweating? People aren't going to hear us sweat.
Oh, you can hear.
Oh, that's interesting.
If you listen close to those earlier episodes, you can hear us perspiring.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about on this podcast. One,
we have to summarize everything in the last year, every news headline, everything that's occurred in the world, everything that's occurred in our lives.
Yeah, let's work on
that. And the lives of everybody who's connected to us.
You are better at summarizing than I am, so I'm going to let you go ahead and do that. But before you do any of that, he's not really. Don't worry, guys.
I might. Don't tempt me.
He would love to.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
I'm not going to allow it as a co-partner. In Kynos Project, I won't allow it. But speaking of Kynos Project, in case you did or did not notice, we were once her and him, and we are now Kynos Project. So, Dale, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And we're back. Yeah, so we had started this, first it was a blog and then a podcast, as her and him, because that's super cute and fun.
And we're cute and fun.
She's the her, I'm the him, but we spelled it H-Y-M-N. You wouldn't believe how many questions I got about the title.
Yeah, they
and
thought,
like DMs and stuff.
They thought we sung. Anyways.
And anytime I'd write an article and people would comment, they would comment to me, they would say, dear sister.
Because of the her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they thought that it was a her. But we have changed our name to Kynos Project. And after about, when did we start this thing? In 2018?
Yes. 2018.
So
wow.
It's been like 4 years since we started. And we had this idea that we were going to start this blog. And we were finishing up our final year of seminary. We had just been married. And we were just kind of enjoying the conversations we were having around a library table, around a dinner table, and we felt like those conversations were interesting, and we wanted to put those conversations in print and in audio files that go out onto the internet as we were wrestling through just conversations that surrounded our faith, surrounded theology. Things that were taught as children that maybe we were reworking in our theology and all those different aspects of our lives that were intersecting with those things. And what we quickly realized is that we weren't alone in our desire to make a space for those kinds of conversations where we think deeply and critically, but hopefully we would want to think biblically about those things. And so we put those conversations out in blogs and in podcasts, and now we've really pivoted slightly, and we want this space to be not only our voices, but a place to create a community of voices that are contributing to this work of, if you want to call it public theology, if you want to call it deconstruction, reconstruction, just all these things of where our life and faith and society and theology all meld together, and we construct this kind of view of the world that is hopefully contributing to a sense of wholeness, shalom, if you like Hebrew words, that is really a more holistic look at the world than maybe what a lot of us were raised up with in kind of this subculture of evangelicalism in America.
Yeah. And so out of that desire to not only have these conversations, but we quickly have realized we don't want to just have them between ourselves. So we don't want this to be about Dale and Tamara.
Tamara's tired of talking to me. She wants to talk to some other people.
Yeah, I want to talk to other people.
She says,
guys,
what are other
people
thinking? I feel like you tell me your thoughts all the time. I want to hear other people's thoughts.
I only hear Dale's thoughts, and I want to know other people's thoughts. So we want to open up our blog to have more voices, more writers. We also want to open up the dream, right, is to open up the podcast eventually to have more voices, whether it's multiple podcasts or voices on our podcast. But we're dreaming big. I mean, we do think there's a space for this. We think there's a need for these kinds of conversations to be happening. And we think there's a lot of other people out there who are wrestling with the same things we are. So we're still working on what it looks like for Kainos Project and the podcast to become a space for multiple contributors. But we do know we want it to be just that. We want it to be multiple voices from different backgrounds, all wrestling with the same kind of conversation. So we hope you stick along for the ride and see how this all actually works out.
Yeah. And so here's our vision statement for what we want to be and what we want to do. So Kainos Project, it exists to create a community of voices that are eager to explore the new ways that God wants to work in our lives and in the church.
So the next question is, why change? Why did we need this change? Were we not already having these conversations with her and him? Right, add more voices, but why completely change to a different name and a different mission statement?
Yeah, I think a lot has changed since 2018. It's been a long 4 years.
It has, yes. I am tired.
I am tired.
I have dark circles. It's delightful.
And in many ways, like, we're different people than we were 4 years ago. The world is a different place than it was 4 years ago. I mean, really, you can just look at 2020 itself, and it's like the landmark between before and after. You know, that's when we had a global pandemic. There was a wave of social unrest around the high-profile murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, others, that resulted in widespread protests, the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, and so many other related movements and organizations. And even if you look at this year of continuing to experience upheaval through waves of mass shootings this year, it seems like this year, like, there's always been a lot of mass shootings, let's be honest, but there's been such a wave of particularly racially motivated mass shootings in recent times. We're still, like, not decided on who won the 2020 presidential election, that has culminated even in an insurrection attempt and committees that are trying to investigate what all went down with that. We just had the overturn of Roe v. Wade, which has vastly changed the landscape of the pro-life movement, and really, the fractures that were there before are coming into the fore. And so there's a lot of different things that are different, even from 2 months ago, let alone 2 years ago. And so we want to enter the fray of all those conversations. And in the midst of all that, over the past few years, and it was already happening, say, in 2018, but there's been this, like, huge wave of people who, whether you can blame it on Trump, whether you can blame it on people sitting at home for 2 years with their thoughts, whether you can blame it on the wave of sexual abuse scandals and leadership scandals across every Protestant denomination in America, or even just the inability of church leaders to have the tools to rise to these new challenges and questions. There's been this wave of people who are deconstructing their faith, who are reworking their theology, who are some of them even walking away from the faith. And so we want to enter into the fray of those brand new questions, the new complexities that we just haven't had to deal with before in our setting. And so that's where we want to live now.
And part of that is just the questions that people are asking. Right, you have groups of people, individuals who are asking really good questions that either people have been too afraid to ask, you know, in the past, or they are now thinking through things in a different way than the answers that were always presented. There is a little bit more questioning of, well, why is something this way? Is that truly because that is what we read about in scripture and that is the truth that is given from God, or is that just the tradition that has existed within the church? And those things are now intertwined in a way that it's hard to separate them out. And we shouldn't be afraid to ask questions as believers, as a church. We shouldn't back down from allowing people around us to ask hard questions and to challenge us a little bit. There are certain things that Dale and I have wrestled with in our own faith. I wouldn't say we've come close to a space of leaving the faith in any way, but we are certainly asking hard questions and just trying to pull apart what is it that has become systems and structures and tradition, and what is it that is truly scripture, and how do we live out Christ in all of our life? Because that's, I think every Christian would agree that's the goal, is to live out our faith in every aspect. And that's where the conversations that we're going to have through Kainos Project come into play, is we are dealing with a different landscape now. And I think that's evident across every aspect of our culture. And certainly it's going to be something we need to deal with as believers. It's going to be something we need to talk about as believers. So we can't just say, well, that's the culture outside who's dealing with all of this change. We're going to just keep doing what we do. We have to allow the conversations happening inside of our community groups, outside of our community groups, to be something we're attentive to, we're aware of, and we're critically thinking through, not apart from scripture by any means, but alongside scripture.
Yeah, so we definitely want to be deeply engaged in the culture and the history of our specific moment on our little plot on the timeline of world history. But we also want to be firmly planted in scripture, because we affirm scripture as our authority. It's the final authority that we turn to. And when I say that, I don't mean a particular interpretation that has been passed down to us. I think there's certainly a lot of things about our theology that have not changed and will not change. But I think what many people who are deconstructing, and just people who are reworking things in their faith and in their life, what they're coming to realize is that they had been given a quote-unquote authoritative interpretation of scripture, mm-hmm, that was very much defined by a historical moment, by a political ideology or view, that those views aren't as infallible as the word of God itself that they're supposedly being interpreted from. And so we want to, as much as we can, discern the author's intent from scripture and apply it to the very relevant, very pressing, oftentimes very traumatic things we're seeing in our lives and the headlines and all those things. That's what we really want to do. And really for us, as consider ourselves theologians, I think anybody can just call themselves a theologian.
I was just
like,
that.
I just It's like calling yourself an artist. Like, who can define what a theologian is? But as theologians, what we want to do is engage in that dialogue at those pressure points where people just have questions. And a lot of times, these aren't conversations that we can have, you know, on a Sunday from the pulpit. But these are things that are worked out through personal conversations, mm-hmm. and just engaging with each other in one-on-one conversations and in groups.
Right. So we are here for people and groups. I mean, just like you said, to engage in dialogue that might look different than it ever has before. And we are still seeing that even over the last few years, our conversations continue to look different just on a personal level. But we also know that, again, it can't just be our voices. We are not experts on everything in the world, on everything happening around us. We want to be individuals that steward like the wisdom and discernment and gifts and knowledge and education that we've been given to the best of our ability. But we also understand that means bringing in other voices. And so we want different voices with insights, different experiences, different expertise in matters related to some of the most pressing questions that are happening around us. So we want to do a new work of theology and be a part of a coming revival that we truly believe Jesus wants to bring. And that is part of the reason for even the rebrand, the renaming of what we're doing, Kainos Project. So do you want to explain the meaning of Kainos and why Kainos? What does it mean? And yes, it's pronounced kainos. I've had a lot of people like, how do you even say that word? So it's right. Greek. It's kainos.
It's all Greek to me.
Exactly.
Well, the word kainos, as simple as you can say it, is it means new. So we want to do this new project of theology. And like you said, not just like an armchair, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin kind of theology, but like... But where it really affects our lives, mm-hmm. to do a new kind of theology that is of a new kind. And so this word kainos, it comes from, there's a bunch of different places that it shows up in the New Testament. But the verse where we got our inspiration for it, it comes in the book of Revelation. And that's everybody's favorite book.
It's mine.
To start to study. But then once you start studying it, it's like people get discouraged and give up because there's symbolism and it's scary and it's the end of the world.
And you probably heard a lot of things about it depending on what group of Christians you've been around.
Yeah, there's a lot of infighting in evangelicalism.
Exactly.
And some hard lines drawn. And so that can be even more confusing to be able to discern that. But there are some things that are clear about Revelation, about it's ultimately a book that's meant for hope, that everything that is broken in the world, that everything that is evil in the world is eventually going to be brought back to right, that there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, that things are going to be made whole again. That's this very Hebrew idea that you see both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Again, this idea of shalom. And shalom is not just like the absence of war or conflict. It's the presence of things being the way they're supposed to be and functioning the way that they should. And so that's really what the book of Revelation is about. But there's this verse, Revelation 21:5, and it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making all things new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And so these are the words of Jesus, where he is speaking into the world, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that's what Jesus is going to ultimately do with the world, where everything will be as it should be. But we have this just firm belief that that is what Jesus wants to do in small ways and in big ways in the here and now.
Right. And the interesting thing about this verse is it really is a very literal focal point of the book of Revelation. And it's also thematically a focal point of the book of Revelation, that this is what everything is coming to. This is the work of Jesus, that he is going to make all things new. And oftentimes we think of that as this far off, distant thing that Jesus is going to do one day, which there certainly is absolute truth to that. Like, everything will be made new, but it's here and it's now. And that's what we want to be part of, is that new work that Jesus is doing in our own lifetime and in our own generation and in our own communities and in our own cities. And it is exciting, and it should be exciting. We shouldn't look around at the world and be led to a space of despair. And oftentimes that feels like the conversation within Christian communities is, we're afraid. Look at, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And that's kind of the phrase that is even used. But as we look to the final book and what Jesus is going to do in Revelation, he is making all things new. Like, this is exciting for us. We get to be part of that work, and we get to see it happen before our eyes in many ways. Not in its fullness, but in ways we get to be part of that.
Yeah, and there's this common phrase that's used among a lot of evangelical Christians where they look at the state of the world, whether it's like the sexual revolution, whether it's the wars that we see ourselves in, whether it's racially motivated massacres that we see on an almost monthly basis. They say, oh Lord, come quickly.
Right.
Like, let's just end it.
Yeah. Instead of, Lord, help in the midst of this, be part of what's happening here, reveal yourself to people and make yourself known. No, we just, like, get us out of here. We're done.
I mean, because that's the truth, because he is coming, but there's also the reality that he is here.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, in us and through us, that the church, both as individual Christians, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But in the same way, the church, the community of believers together, is a temple of the Holy Spirit that is bringing about this newness. And there's actually a couple of different words in the New Testament that are translated as new, and we picked kainos for a specific reason. So there's kind of like two main words that are used for new, and the first one is naos, and then the other one is kainos.
Right. Naos is used pretty frequently, and so is kainos in the New Testament. Like, if you just were to do a word study, you see a pretty equal measure of both words. So they're both important. It's not like one is better than the other, but we did choose one over the other for
because
specific reasons.
Because we felt like it was better.
Yeah, exactly. So naos is this look. It's a looking forward, right? It's probably the most common way that we use the word new. Just in conversation, it's the most familiar. It's often used with respect to time. So the new described with neos, it takes on the same kind and quality of its original thing. So just as an example, our son, delightful son, who will be 3 next month, his name is Silas and we love him. He kind of destroys things. So
kind of,
I mean,
he destroys literally everything. I hide my stuff.
Okay.
Because I don't want him to touch it or get, okay, like peanut butter fingers on it.
I mean, yeah, he's kind of grimy too, but that's okay. So sometimes he will break things, and he often is just very aggressive and rough with his toys, and something will break off, a wheel, an arm, a foot, a toe, something will break off of a toy. And
Buzz Lightyear's lost all his limbs.
Yes, poor Buzz Lightyear. So he will often come to me and ask me to fix it, and I will tell him, I'm sorry, Silas, I can't fix it. It's broken. I can't fix it. And I made the mistake
one
time.
Then you tell him, it's just like the world.
Yeah.
It's all broken.
Exactly.
We can't fix it.
This is a time to learn. No. So I made the mistake one time of saying, okay, Silas, I'm sorry, bub. It's broken. Mommy will buy you a new one. And ever since I told him that, he will now come up to me with whatever broken item he has, and he says, Mama, broken. Mama, buy new one. And he's asking me to buy him a new one, the exact same thing. He wants it to be exactly like the one that he had before. He doesn't want it to be different in any way. He doesn't need an upgrade. He doesn't want it to be, you know, a 2.0 version of it. He wants it to be the exact same thing, but just new, because now it's not broken.
It's kind of the same thing. I bought a new iPhone, which you tend to do like every 3 to 4 years, where it's basically like the same phone, just it doesn't overheat and the camera's slightly better. But it's the same thing. It's the same kind. All the apps are the same. It functions the same thing.
Yeah.
That's NAOS.
Yeah, and so you want it to be the same quality, and you want it to be the same kind of thing, just as the original. And there's a lot of verses using NAOS in the New Testament, and I'll kind of just go through a few just so you can hear the understanding of the way new is being used in these verses. So one is Colossians 3, 9 through 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Another place we see it is Hebrews 12:4 says, "To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." So these are all just examples of new being used in the way that it's going to be the same kind and the same quality of its original.
Yeah, and another example is where it actually refers to people this way, like young men, like NAOS men, like he's a new man, like in that his knees still work and his hair is dark and he doesn't have wrinkles.
That is not us.
When he's no longer a NAOS man, he's an old man. He's still the same man. He's still himself. And so in that sense, it's new, but of the same kind.
Right. And so the difference is in NAOS and KAINOS. Is KAINOS, it's a different kind of new. It's a better kind of new. It describes something that is new in quality, but different in nature from the old. So
it'd be like if I had a flip phone and I just got my iPhone, as opposed to I bought one iPhone and it's the same iPhone. It's a brand new kind of thing.
Right. So it's like new but better, and that's obviously why we chose KAINOS, because we want to not throw out the old. Right, that's the neat thing about the word KAINOS, is it has respect to the old. It has respect for what came before it. It's not throwing it all away and then just starting over. It's using the good of what was there and then making that new thing better.
Yeah, so some examples of verses that use KAINOS. There's Galatians 6:15, which says, "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation." There's a new spiritual community that is built up around Jesus that's of a different kind than what came before it. And Jesus talks about this when he's talking to his disciples. And we see it reflected in the Apostle John's first letter in 1 John 2:8. He says, "I'm writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining." In the same way that Jesus says, "I'm giving you a new commandment, that you would love one another." That there's this new kind of thing that's being brought forth.
Right. And throughout the New Testament, we see KAINOS used in a lot of different ways. And instead of just doing a word study and then kind of figuring out what does all that mean, I kind of went through and just looked at different places that KAINOS is used. And really, what is it that the Lord is making new? And so I just tried to group them together in a way that was easy to digest. So when we see the Lord making something new and the word being KAINOS, he gives us a new commandment to love one another. Like, that understanding is new in the way that it's better than what was before. This new command to love one another is KAINOS. He created the church as something new that's supposed to transcend the Jew and Gentile boundaries that were established previously. We become a new creation. That's KAINOS that's being used there. He created us as a new self made in his likeness. He promises us a new name. We get to sing a new song. The new Jerusalem will be our eternal home. We will spend eternity in the new heaven and earth. And so these are all areas or ways, or I guess categories of ways that we see the Lord doing new works. And they really should bring us encouragement as we look at them now. Of course, we were not the original audience for any of these books written, but we can still understand that same newness that God is promising when these letters were written or these books were written is the same thing that we can understand the Lord doing now.
Yeah, so when we're talking about a kainos way of living, when it comes to our understanding of culture, of our generation, of society, or even our stage in church history, our desire shouldn't be to bring it back to the glory days of a certain age. And now nostalgia has its place, and there are certain things that we loved about the days of our youth or maybe bygone eras, but the reality is that we have yet to get it right. Like, even in, if you look at American history, where things that we were getting right in a certain period of time that it seems like we're getting them wrong now, there were other things that were getting way worse wrong than we are now. And so we have yet to exemplify the image of Jesus to the rest of the world, not only as a country, as a nation, but as the church. In every generation of the church, we're doing things right and we're doing things horribly wrong. And so we want to pay homage to the past. We want to respect the good things of the past, but we don't want to ever go back there, because the work of Jesus is to do a new work, not to blow everything up necessarily, but to build on the foundation of the good, to create something newer and better.
Right. So Kindness Project is about longing for, it's dreaming of, and even making way for the kainos work of Jesus, for that new work. And it's not even just a reset, right? We're not asking to just start over, hit the reset button, clear it all, but to see a refresh within our churches, to see a refresh within the lives of believers and ultimately in our communities. Like, may those things that Jesus is doing within his body, within his people, may we also see that happen around us. And so, again, the goal is not to get back to the theology of the Reformation or back to the style of church that worked during the Great Awakening or to go back to the days of Billy Graham and his style of ministry. We want to glean from the hard faith work that has come before us, but it shouldn't be that desire to go back to it, because this exemplifies that moment where they got it right. Like you said, we have yet to get it right. And I think a large part of that is to keep us humbled and keep us relying on Jesus, because it's his work. It's not any golden person that was able to do it. So we want to see breakthrough in our lives, in the lives around us today, because we are living under a different cultural backdrop than, you know, some of the great theological thinkers that have come before us. But that doesn't mean that the same spirit that was moving in those days that we look back to, that same spirit is moving now and is going to break through the culture that we're experiencing now.
Yeah. And when you think about like these great figures of faith in the past, whether it was like Martin Luther or John Calvin, or it's a Billy Graham, what made these faith leaders great was that they were speaking into the very relevant existential questions, societal level questions, worldview level questions that were pressing in their day. And so for us to go back to like, oh, well, what did Martin Luther say? Well, Martin Luther said a lot of stuff. Martin Luther was also an anti-Semite, and among other things. And what did John Calvin say? What did Billy Graham say? Or what did Billy Graham do that worked? In one sense, you can glean from that. But in another sense, you're failing to do the kind of work that a lot of these faith leaders were doing in their day. You know, despite whatever shortcomings they might have had, they were seeking to do a new thing in their day and time. And so I don't want to have like just this stockpile of answers to questions that they were asking in the 1500s. I don't want to have a stockpile of answers to questions that they were asking in the mid 20th century. Like, the questions are different. Like, a lot of the answers relate to each other as there's a core of truth to the center of them. But really, what I've come to realize is that theology is the project of every new generation. And the measure to which we fail to engage in that project is the measure to which we fail to fully apprehend the new kind of work that Jesus wants to do in each generation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think, I mean, we are now referencing like Martin Luther and Billy Graham. And so just to piggyback off what you're explaining, Martin Luther, the great reformer that we celebrate and think highly of and read still.
We dress up like him on October 31st.
Some people do, yes. He wasn't wrestling, like in his time, he wasn't wrestling with how to understand and live out his faith amidst a sexual revolution. Like that was
right.
Not
there were no non-binary people when he was around.
Exactly. And Billy Graham, the great evangelist that many people came to faith through listening to his sermons, he was not wrestling with sharing Jesus during a time when anyone's opinion, based on fact or not, went viral within hours. And he was publicly proclaiming, like, imagine Billy Graham.
Well, he was the first viral preacher, you know?
Right. But imagine him now and the kind of criticism he would get within minutes of any of his crusades. Who is that? Yes, crusades. Yeah. I was like, what were they called? They weren't conventions. They were
conventions.
Crusades. I say, any of his conventions, that's not what they were. But any of his crusades, now you were to put those same exact events in 2022, and I guarantee you he would need to change a little bit of his strategy. And
you're saying that Billy Graham is canceled?
I mean, people might have wanted to cancel him, right? Yeah, so basically we can continue to glean from these people that we respect, and not just these people, like whatever, whoever they are, but
right.
People that have done such a great work for the faith and have really impacted our own faith through
Shaped entire church structures and movements.
Right, yeah. So we don't want to say the work they did is for nothing. It's absolutely not. It's foundational and fundamental to a lot of what we're doing now. And we appreciate that and are thankful for that, but also understand even the work they did was within the setting of their own culture. And so what does it look like for us to do work for the kingdom within our own cultural settings?
Yeah, and there's this verse that I always come back to in Ecclesiastes where Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And in one sense, like, he's like super right. Like, it's a really cynical thing to think about, but in a certain sense, like, nothing ever changes. Empires rise and fall, babies are born, old people die. There's like this endless cycle of boom and bust, whether it's having to do with theological movements, economic systems, geopolitics, or whatever, that there really is nothing new. But at the same time, Jesus has said, behold, I am making all things new. And so with Jesus, there's this sense that in our own lifetime, that we can experience this kind of supernatural newness that is unique and is truly of a different kind than what came before it. And really, you know, all we have is our one lifetime to do something meaningful with it, to find truth, to exemplify the love of Jesus and the power of his ability to transform not only our own hearts, but our own lives, that
right.
He is making things new, even within the context of the fact that there's nothing new under the sun. Mm. Empires rise, empires fall. Mm-hmm. But there's something unique and special that he wants to do in us and among us that can be a fresh movement, a fresh wave of what he wants to do in the world. And so really our goal is to live at the intersection of the wisdom of there's nothing new under the sun and the great hope that, behold, I am making all things new.
Yeah. Well, you said that really nicely. Look at you. You've been thinking about this for a while. And I think the last 2 to 3 years have so clearly displayed that we are living in a time of great change. It's undeniable at this point.
These unprecedented times.
Yeah.
But really, it's my belief that we are living at a hinge point in the history of the world that's going to be really historically significant, even 500, 1,000 years from now. Think about the printing press and how that transformed the world. Mm. We got the internet. It's only like, what, 20 years old, 30 years old? Mm-hmm. That we're just at such a critical pivot point in history that it's an exciting time that we are going to be in the history books. Maybe not you and me specifically, but
no, and I don't think our ambition is not to be in history books. Our ambition is not to be the next Billy Graham, right? You always hear that in churches, like, you might be the next Billy Graham. Well, that's not the goal.
Yeah,
the goal
Billy
is
Graham
not to glorify ourselves
he's
in any way,
yeah.
But just to know Jesus does want to do something new now. And it's not something we have to assume is for another generation. Like, it's for us now. And our faith must intersect every aspect of our lives, which means that we have to have difficult conversations. We are living in times that are different. So the conversations are going to be different and they're going to be difficult. But we have to welcome in various voices who come from different walks of life, different expertise, and different experience. Because we do want to seek to advance the gospel into the next generation and into our own generation. So now we certainly don't have it all figured out yet.
Hey, speak for yourself over there.
I know.
I've got it like 90% figured out.
Absolutely.
Until I don't, and I just unravel the whole thing again.
Yeah, that's what you're known for. So we don't have it figured out, but we hope to be as charitable, gracious, and loving as we think out loud with you. And probably me more than Dale, but I would hope for that in return too, that you be gracious with us as we just have conversations and not being afraid to have them, because I will probably say things that are more regrettable than you will. But
I say some pretty regrettable things according to my inbox.
Yeah. But I think it's important that we're not afraid to have them because of criticism, and we're not afraid to have conversations because of the kind of comments that are going to end up in our inbox. So that is probably more of a bold step for me than it is for Dale. But we want to extend the invitation for anyone who would like to contribute to the work of Kainos Project. So visit our website. It's really nice. It's beautiful. It's fun. It's way better than what we had before.
Because I didn't design it myself.
Because,
that's why.
Yeah, we paid a very talented designer, and she's also a friend. So I guess we'll thank her publicly for that as well, because our website looks really nice. But really, stop by our website. It's just kainosproject.com. Take a look around and submit an article if you like to write. Maybe if you don't like to write, but you have something to say that's interesting to what's happening in the world around us and our faith. You can email us at info@kainosproject.com. Get in touch with us that way. Dale loves to check angry emails, so feel free to put attention, Dale. Those are his favorite kind. But really, genuinely, we are excited to see where the journey of Kainos Project takes us. And we look forward to seeing a community develop that reimagines how we understand ancient truths in light of our current realities, and seeing a brand new generation of Christians stepping into the abundant life that Jesus has promised us.
Thanks for listening to the Kainos Project podcast. Thank you also to our partners at Life Audio. Visit lifeaudio.com to find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in the network, including shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. If you enjoyed hanging out with us today, consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a rating and review. And be sure to visit our website, kainosproject.com, for more helpful resources. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
This is Chris Christensen, and back in 2006, I started a simple project. A project to try and introduce more people to the Bible through Bible study, called the Bible Study Podcast. It's a simple name and a simple idea. Each week, every week, we study one chapter of the Bible, talk about what it says, and what that might mean for us today. To listen now, go to lifeaudio.com or search for the Bible Study Podcast on your favorite podcast app.